This is Lake Effect. From Milwaukee Public Radio, I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. The discussion over how to fund a potential new downtown sports arena and other cultural attractions continues in the Milwaukee area, albeit on an uncertain course. A task force of community leaders is studying the issue, and in fact, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marina Dmitrievich is holding a listening session on the issue at this hour at the Milwaukee Public Museum. But no explicit plan is in place to decide how to move forward. The Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum today released the second part of a report looking into funding for arts and culture in the region. The report, called The Show Must Go On, examined how other comparable cities took on the issue and offered four hypothetical ways Milwaukee could proceed. Rob Hankin is president of the forum, and he's with us in the studio now. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
Let me start even before we get to these approaches for supporting arts and cultural and entertainment institutions here. Is there a philosophical question, or are there philosophical questions that need to be answered before Milwaukee can even approach figuring out a dedicated funding model?
We definitely think there are, Mitch, and that's actually one of the key messages that we're trying to put forward in this report. The temptation, I think, of virtually everybody is going to be to immediately begin thinking about taxes and whether they like them or don't like them and which is their preference if they have to have them and what's the correct amount. But we think there are actually some loftier public policy questions that ought to be considered in the context of this very important conversation about the future of our cultural entertainment assets. And one of those is, how do we go about financing local government in Wisconsin? And is this a potential opportunity to say, you know, we're too reliant on the property tax and we'd like to see a better mix of different local funding sources, whether or not we end up raising an additional nickel to support culture and entertainment? So that's one. I think another important question is governance. We've had a discussion for many, many years about the county's inability to appropriately take care of its cultural assets. And that's not necessarily a knock on county policymakers. It's a reflection of the very difficult financial situation in which the county has found itself, and the fact that these institutions need to compete with services like mental health and jails and district attorney and so on. So is this an opportunity to revisit that question?
Well, I wonder if it's oversimplifying things to say people often look at this as a question of yes or no rather than what and how.
I think you're right. And so the fundamental starting point for this conversation is, are we satisfied with the condition of these assets? And that's not an easy question. It's not only looking at them individually and their repair and infrastructure needs and their operating gaps, but it's also saying, do we need all of these? And we're not trying to suggest that we absolutely do. But if the premise is, hey, we want to maintain the existing array of assets and we want to consider enhancements in the area of our entertainment assets, then I think it points us to wanting to look at the variety of different options that might be out there to do that.
Right. Obviously, the simplest answer to all this is, no, we don't want to go through with any of this stuff. But if we start with the idea that Milwaukee wants to decide on something, let's talk about the metro areas that you studied to look at potential funding models for Milwaukee. Where were the places you studied and what made them appropriate comparisons for Milwaukee?
So we started out by looking at more than a dozen different areas, and we settled on five that we analyzed in this report. And we did so not to suggest that these are necessarily the answer, but because each of the five that we looked at had sort of a distinctive approach to this that we thought was relevant to Milwaukee and food for thought. So we looked at Oklahoma City, which had an approach which said, hey, there are some very important big ticket capital projects that we want to get done. We want to put a temporary funding source in place to do them, and then the temporary funding source will go away. We looked at Allegheny County, which didn't focus on the capital side, but on the operating side.
And Allegheny County is in Pennsylvania.
Yes, the Pittsburgh area. And in their case, they said, you know, we're dependent on the property tax to support these very valuable cultural assets. We think a sales tax is a better approach. We'd like to spread to a larger geographic area the responsibility for maintaining these assets. And they have a tiered approach as well, which says there are certain assets that are going to get guaranteed amounts. We're going to reserve a certain amount to support debt on a new stadium and an expanded convention center, et cetera. A third place that we looked at was Denver. Denver, similar to Allegheny County in sort of the tiered approach, but they did not include sports or convention facilities, and they did it on a regional basis, a seven-county region as opposed to a one-county region, and consequently, the tax that they required was only a tenth of a cent to fulfill their needs, whereas Allegheny County needed a half cent. A fourth is St. Louis, and in that case, they used a dedicated mill rate of the property tax, and their focus was exclusively on just the five major publicly owned institutions. They wanted to ensure both quality and public access. So So the public funding helps keep the admissions fees. In this case, the admission is free to those five assets. Finally, we looked at Cuyahoga County, which is the Cleveland area, and their approach is really just to supplement. They weren't looking to replace property tax with sales tax or some other source. In the end, they decided that they wanted to simply inject some additional money into their arts and cultural assets to reflect the fact that they felt that there had been underinvestment over the previous several years.
Well, let's go back for just a second, because you mentioned the term property tax mill rate, and I don't know that that's a term that everybody is familiar with. How can you explain that for us?
It's interesting, because here in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin, the property tax that is paid is determined based on the budgetary amount that is settled on by local policymakers. So in the case of Milwaukee County, the county property tax, the county board and county executive ultimately agreed for this budget, it would be about $280 million. That $280 million represents a certain amount per every $1,000 of equalized value in somebody's property tax bill. A different way of doing it is to simply say, no, instead, we're going to dedicate a certain rate. So in the case of St. Louis, it's $2.80 per $1,000 is going to go to cultural assets. Doing it that way means that as property values increase, there's more money that is flowing into these assets. Conversely, if property values should go down, there's less money. But it's not subject to an annual budget deliberation as it is in Milwaukee County. So it's the act of dedicating it that is really important there.
I think there's a temptation for people in Milwaukee to look at places like these five that you studied and say, oh my God, these places have done it. If they can get their heads around doing something, why can't we? Were there commonalities in how those cities even came to the decision to move forward on a dedicated funding stream?
I think there were some. I think in virtually all cases, we saw a great deal of transparency as these issues were being deliberated. There was plenty of public input. In the case of Oklahoma City, there was extensive survey work and polling done. I think the issue of governance was paramount in the considerations of these other places. They wanted to make sure that if they were asking the taxpayers to pay either more or in a different way, that they were satisfied that the funds would be used for their intended purposes and properly governed. So I think those are two key elements that obviously have some relevance here.
And this is not to say that there weren't political fights that took place in these cities.
Absolutely. And in several of these places, the tax is renewable. So every 10 years, you have to go back to the voters. In Denver, it's been renewed two times. Cuyahoga County is now gearing up for a potential referendum in 2016 on its approach. In Cuyahoga County, there was a different approach that was tried first that failed at the polls before they settled on their 30-cent per pack cigarette tax. So clearly, the politics, I don't think you can say was any less intense than it is here. But as you said, they got it done.
So in looking at the five areas that you studied, you actually sketched out four potential models that Milwaukee County could follow, all of which take a distinctly different approach. Did you essentially hybridize the approaches to come up with something that might make sense for Milwaukee?
We did. There was, a limited amount of hybridization. But essentially, yes, we took a supplemental funding approach that would be similar to what Cuyahoga County did. And we modeled, very hypothetically, what might that look like here? And what could you fund if you did it that way here? And what would a 30-cent per pack cigarette tax generate here, which happens to be about $11.7 million? And then we also took great pains to point out that if you're interested in a supplemental funding approach, while Cuyahoga County used a cigarette tax, you could essentially accomplish the same objective with a tenth of a cent sales tax, if that's what you preferred. We did another approach similar to the St. Louis approach, the high-quality public assets approach. What if we wanted to use a dedicated property tax mill rate? What would that look like for our major county institutions? We did an Oklahoma City approach where, again, very hypothetically, we listed a series of major projects and we did several submodels, some of which included public funding share for a new multipurpose arena and an expanded convention center. And we detailed what that would look like. And then we also took a look at a comprehensive tiered approach that was sort of a hybrid of Denver and Allegheny County that said, what if you wanted to accomplish all of that and also replace your property tax support with sales tax support instead?
Where does the arena issue in Milwaukee fall in this paradigm?
Well, we consider that under the rubric of entertainment. And so in terms of the four models that we constructed, two of the four would lend themselves to including a public funding share, either cash financing or issuing debt for a new arena. And two of the four simply would not. They're just the approach is such that it really wouldn't make a lot of sense to try to include something that big. And so it's not a value judgment, but we certainly give enough information here. So those who are interested in looking at merging these areas could use our models to gain some insight as to how to do so. But those who are not could keep the issue separate.
How would you imagine that the Milwaukee area should go about trying to establish a consensus over just what we're talking about funding?
Well, I think that's one of the main points we're trying to make in this report is that really the starting point has to be, what are our policy objectives? Is it so narrow to the point where we're just mainly interested in taking care of the infrastructure backlog that perhaps exists for the county institutions and or just interested in building a new arena? Or is this a broader exercise that has some loftier objectives that, again, involve to some extent rebalancing the way that we finance local government in the southeast part of the state?
You said you started actually by looking at 12 metro areas that took some kind of approach to taking on this issue. Were there cautionary tales that you found out? Were there cities where they went after the issue and the effort fell apart?
I think, yes. So first of all, there are some where it fell apart. But I think the other cautionary tale is one of the big issues here is who's going to be included. We even got to the point of having a referendum on this issue back in 2008, but we never really defined. Were we just talking about the county-owned institutions? Or conversely, were we talking about a community-wide decision that says, hey, culture, entertainment, the arts, these are important to us. We want a robust array of offerings. And if we're going to do something here, while it may very well prioritize the publicly owned institutions, maybe we want to have some funding tiers that have eligibility for the whole range. And so what we saw in other places was that to the extent that you are perhaps not including a broad enough array of assets, you saw infighting in one of the cities. Some of the arts community was opposed to the effort because there was a certain element that just wasn't included.
Well, and that was, I guess, where I was going. Where this might fall apart in some way is if the arts and culture community finds itself in a battle of haves and have-nots, if you will.
That is true. And I just don't think we've gotten to the point yet where we're really talking about that. And again, we're not at the point yet where we've decided whether we're just talking about an arena and maybe a convention center and maybe another couple major projects versus, again, wanting to do something to ensure the long-term health of the overall arts and cultural and entertainment landscape.
Well, the conversation is going. And Rob Henkin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Henkin is president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. The forum's report on funding for arts, culture, and entertainment is called The Show Must Go On, and you can find a link from wuwm.com/lake effect. And yes, indeed, there is a question mark at the end of that report title. Some changes were announced last week to the college preparatory test known as the SAT, but how significant are those changes? We'll get some context when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you.